The text for our sermon this morning is our gospel reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. For quite a while now, it has been common for different companies to advertise their products as being natural. Natural as opposed to artificial. Only natural ingredients from natural sources contains nothing made in a factory or a laboratory. Things like that. When something is advertised as being natural, that makes it sound better, more healthy, better for you. However, as someone I used to know one time mentioned, poison ivy is all natural too. That doesn't mean it's good or healthy for me to eat it or rub it all over myself. The point being, just because something is natural does not necessarily mean that it's good or good for you. Sometimes we in the church do the same kind of thing with the word spiritual. Something that's spiritual is something that's good. We describe someone as being a very spiritual person. We usually mean that as a compliment or as a good thing. Something that's spiritual is something that's good. That's how we talk. And yet, the scriptures teach us that there are evil spirits. The devil is a spirit, and so are his demons. So, there are good spirits, and there are bad spirits. Just because something is spiritual does not necessarily mean that it's good or good for you. Just like with the word natural. A well-known Christian writer once said that there are two equal and opposite errors our race falls into concerning the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. So let us say, very simply, demons exist. They are real. The scriptures make no doubt about that. But they will not help you. They will not aid you. You cannot use or harness their power. People think that they can use or harness the power of spirits in order to predict the future or in order to communicate with loved ones who have died or things like that. No, you cannot tap into, use or harness their power for your own purposes. In the end, they will only end up manipulating you. So I warn you, stay away from those things. This morning, Luke tells us about this poor man who has been possessed by demons. That's demons with an S, plural. When Jesus asks the name, they reply legion, because there are so many of them. Now, a legion was a Roman army of somewhere around 5,000 soldiers. That's a lot. This poor man. Can you imagine? Thousands of demons inside of him. He could not control his own actions. He could not control his own voice. He was their puppet and nothing more. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. All human attempts to control this situation had failed. They stationed guards to watch over him. They bound him with chains and shackles so that he would not hurt himself or anyone else. But it did no good. He broke the chains and he got away from the guards. All human strength and ingenuity, willpower and technology was useless. Nothing can be done. The demons even drove this poor man away from his fellow human beings. He was forced to live away from other people and instead live in the tombs where dead things are. The demons have nothing to fear from this poor man. They control him. They have nothing to fear from any of the people in the village, or even from all the people in the village put together. Nobody can control them. Nobody can contain them. Nobody can stop them. Nobody can stand up to them. They have nothing to fear from anyone. And then Jesus shows up on the scene. Did you notice the reaction of the demons to Jesus? He cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What do you have to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." Jesus shows up and the demons are afraid. Why should they be? There are 1,000 of them. There's only one of Jesus. But they know who Jesus is. They know that he is not just a man. They know that Jesus is, as we confess in the Nicene Creed, God of God, light of light, very God of very God. They themselves acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of the Most High God. Luke even tells us that too, did you notice? Right at the very end of the gospel reading where the man wants to go with Jesus, but Jesus says no, and he sends him back to his home and he says, go back to your home and proclaim what God has done for you. Did you notice this? And then the man goes, and what does he do? Jesus said, go and proclaim what God has done for you. The man goes, and Luke says he proclaims what Jesus has done for him. The implication being that Jesus is God. The demons know who Jesus is, and it terrifies them. Never forget this. Demons are scared of Jesus. The devil is scared of Jesus. And they have good reason to be. They beg Jesus not to torment them. Torment them? What does this mean? Would Jesus do this? Understand. Jesus is merciful and compassionate. Jesus is mercy and compassion incarnate. Jesus is merciful and compassionate to you and me, to all men and women made in God's image. Jesus is full of grace for all people, every single human being who is lost in sin and under the power of death. But Jesus has no mercy at all, none, for beings who destroy the people he has made in his image. By that I mean death and the devil and his demons. Jesus has no compassion on death. Jesus has no mercy on the devil. And that is a wonderful and great comfort to you and me. Because you do not have to worry that one day in the future, Jesus might feel sorry for death. All right, death, you've been locked away long enough. You can come back out now and be free. No. Jesus has no mercy on death. Jesus has no compassion for the devil. So you do not have to fear that one day Jesus might say, all right, devil, you've served your time. You can come back out now and continue your lying and murdering ways. No. Jesus came to save every human being, every man, woman, boy, and girl by destroying death, defeating the devil and his demons. so he will have no mercy on them, so that he can have full mercy on you and on me. So they beg Jesus to let them go into the herd of pigs that happens to be nearby. Please, Jesus, don't hurt us. Don't send us into the abyss. We'll go away. We'll leave the man. We'll leave him alone. Just let us go over into those pigs. We'll leave this guy alone, please. And Jesus does. He lets them go. He agrees. Maybe Jesus does have mercy on demons after all. He does not destroy them or cast them into the abyss. He just lets them go. Free? I can almost imagine the demons high-fiving each other as they are going out of the poor man and over into the pigs. Wow, that was a close one. Good idea asking him if we could go over into these pigs. We really got out of a jam that time. So they go into the pigs. And then what happens? The demons came out of the man and entered into the pigs. And the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. They thought they had gotten away. But there is no escape for demons from Jesus. Demons do not escape from Jesus. The devil cannot escape from Jesus. Death cannot get away and hide from Jesus. They cannot escape or plead or bargain their way out. Jesus will destroy them. In order to rescue those who are held captive under their power, like that poor man, like you, like me. We are saved because Jesus does not let death and the devil escape. I find it kind of interesting that the demons beg Jesus not to send them into the abyss. In the dictionary, the first definition under the word abyss is a deep, immeasurable gulf, space, or cavity. And where do they end up? At the bottom, deep down at the bottom of a deep lake. No demons. There is no escape from Jesus. So Jesus' judgment of these demons means salvation for this poor man. When the demons are destroyed, Luke tells us that he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. A poor man who knows how long had been tortured by thousands of demons is now restored, healed, saved, made whole. Note this well. All the powers of man failed. But evil spirits are powerless against Jesus, and they know it. This is what Jesus came to do. Jesus himself said about the devil, "Now is the prince of this world cast out." And his disciple John wrote, "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." Jesus came to defeat death and the devil and to save you and me. Because you and I are not stronger than them. You and I cannot defeat or control or contain them. But Jesus is, Jesus can, and Jesus does. And then Jesus unites you to himself. As Paul told us this morning, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You belong to Jesus, the demon slayer. You and I were once enslaved to the elementary principles of the world, but now, baptized into Christ, we are no longer slaves, but sons and daughters. Demons are real. This is true. But you do not need to be afraid of them. Don't go trying to mess around with them on your own because they are stronger than you. But they are not stronger than Jesus. So stick with Jesus. Hear His word and believe it. Eat and drink His body and blood and believe it. Live in your baptism and believe it. Cling to Him because He has defeated them for you already. And He will be with you and see you through and save you. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.